KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.
Broadcasting live from South Napa Century Center.
Narvaez Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renter's insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.
Vintage Sotheby's International Realty, Napa's only locally owned and operated Sotheby's Realty office, has an amazing team of experienced and knowledgeable agents that exceed the high standards and qualifications to assure the ultimate goal of assisting clients buying or selling homes throughout the entire Napa Valley and beyond. Whether now or sometime in the future, remember to consider Vintage Sotheby's Realty, the luxury brand with the local focus that you deserve for any real estate matters. Visit VintageSotheby'sRealty.com to connect when it makes sense for you, or call 707-944-0888. That's 707-944-0888. DRE number 01874685.
Introducing a new and unique source of accessory dwelling units. HabitatADU.com is an all-in-one ADU builder who makes the entire process convenient and actually fun. The new statewide ADU building codes means more properties can accommodate them. Choose from 9 pre-designed models of varying size, built off-site, and delivered nearly 100% complete in much less time than traditional methods. Leave all the permit process and management of the project to the team at HabitatADU.com. Find out if you might benefit from an accessory dwelling unit on your property at HabitatADU.com.
It's time for All Things Napa with your host, Lee W. Miller, a community leader, full-time realtor, and a serial networker passionate about promoting local businesses. Let's learn what's new in the Napa business scene today.
Thank you for that introduction, Lauren. Yes, let's learn what's new. Welcome to All Things Napa. And we got a great show for you today, as every radio host says about every show they ever do. One of these days I'm going to say, we got a so-so show for you today. No, I wouldn't do that. I am happy to introduce to my audience today, in the second half of the hour, we're going to be talking with Garrett Murphy. He is an accomplished professional artist, but he also is the co-owner of Vintners Collective in downtown Napa. And we're going to learn a little bit about his business and his art. He doesn't do it just as a hobby anymore because he's actually paid, being commissioned for things. And so that'll be fun. But first, we're going to start off with Catherine Linane and Mark Raymond, co-owners of Kitchens in the Valley. Welcome, you guys. Thanks for being here today. How are you today?
Greatly. Thank you so much for having us.
You are very welcome. I just love the concept of the business. I am going to ask you guys just to get a little bit closer to the microphones and project your voices just a little bit, okay? So, yeah, we want to make sure everybody hears you. So why don't each of you just kind of introduce yourself as a little 60-second, your affiliation with Napa, how long you've been here, things of that nature, and then we'll get into what exactly is Kitchens of the Valley.
Okay, great. I'll let Mark go first.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, my name is Mark Raymond. I'm the chef and owner of a catering and event planning company called Mark's The Spa, Fine Food. And owner of Kitchens of the Valley. I'm originally from New Zealand. I'm still hanging on to my accent here a little bit, but I've been in the Valley, Napa, since 2000. So I live there with my wife and my 11-year-old daughter. And I started my first company about 10, 11 years ago, Mark's The Spa. And yeah, it's been a success, and it's been great to work in this beautiful area. I feel very blessed.
Thank you, Mark.
My name is Catherine, and I have been in the Sonoma area. I actually live in Sonoma for about 8 years now, and I'm a transplant from New York. And I met Mark about 7 years ago on an event, and we just hit it off really well, and he told me that I had to go work for him. And it seemed like a great idea at the time, and I was right. So we've been working together for about 7 years now. I grew up in gourmet restaurants in upstate New York as a family business, so it's always kind of been a part of my upbringing, my spirit, and who I was. So it was kind of a natural fit to then go into another family-owned business of a very passionate chef. So we were a really great fit from the beginning.
Great. Well, thanks for that little bit of background. I'm always pleased to meet other transplants, because sometimes I feel guilty that I'm not a Napa native, because there are so many Napa natives that are leaders in the community and leaders in business and in government and things. And, you know, we count too, us transplants. So first of all, before you tell us what inspired you to start Kitchens of the Valley, tell us what Kitchens of the Valley is and how it is different from most businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. So Kitchens of the Valley is a delivery service that we've created to bring specialized meals from private chefs and small restaurants directly to people's homes that were kind of designed on a different idea. We wanted to create meals that were to be simply reheated, no chopping, no cooking really, but you just reheat and prepare these meals at home to have a really delicious family style meal with your family. So that was kind of the beginning idea of Kitchens of the Valley, and it's definitely developing quickly, wouldn't you say, Mark?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're pretty excited about what we're going to have to offer here in the future.
So we've all been in the pandemic. We've all done the pickup or the DoorDash type of thing, which hopefully more and more people are learning that when you use DoorDash, you're sucking away a whole bunch of profit for the restaurateur. So try to do pickup going forward. That's my little soapbox there. Yeah. But you pick it up and you've plotted out the absolutely most efficient way to get home so that the food is as warm as it can possibly be, and yet it's still, you know, nothing like when it's brought to your table. So that's part of what you guys did. You're delivering it cold, correct? Intentionally.
That's correct. That's the never ending issue with restaurants. And we sympathize with that so much after both of us having years in the restaurant industry, with the pandemic hitting and constant fires and everyone kind of having to restructure their businesses. We realized there was some growing pains that needed to be dealt with. And we wanted to not compromise those meals with the time it took to get there, or companies like DoorDash taking large profits directly from our chefs who were already working with very small margins. We wanted to get the best quality product that we could directly to the people within our community who wanted it without our chefs losing all the money that they were trying to make, sourcing all these amazing local items and vegetables and meats and taking painless care and putting love into their food and then only having these small marginal gains for a lot of hard work. So, because if any of you have ever known a chef, you know how much they work and how much time goes into preparing something beautiful that they've created here. And there's a high bar here in the Valley, so that's also very important.
Yeah.
So what we did is we got together with some of our local chef friends, people we thought we had passion and drive and had really beautiful, wonderful products, delicious food, just yummy, yummy eats. And we said we wanted to create this idea. We wanted to make it all local people, local chefs, private chefs, caterers, restaurants. We're open to anyone being a part of this. And we wanted to bring their food directly to people without a company like DoorDash taking extras, while we employ our drivers and handle all of that directly in-house. So a lot of those things get a little bit make sure that there's more take back to the chefs directly. And that's kind of the goal. And that is the goal going forward also, in that we'll be adding a lot of other things other than just meals. We're looking to bring in local artisans of all different varieties who just want to offer something really cool, delicious, locally made, and want it to be delivered directly to your doorstep, because we feel that people are going to continue to want these type of services, especially as convenience, but also it's a new world out there and people want to know where their things are coming from, who's delivering them, are they safe, that they can trust who's how they're being put together. And we take a lot of painstaking effort to oversee all of that and ensure those things.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. Each box is in a steel box. It has a insulated liner, ice packs, heating instructions. So our customers don't even have to be at home. We could drop it off in the afternoon. If you get home like an hour later, it's going to be perfectly safe. You can even take it to a friend's house, take it over for dinner. You can reheat it there. You can have an awesome meal easily within 1 hour from reheating and plating. And the idea, as Katie has emphasized, is keeping that quality and freshness and awesome food for our guests. And you could also, you don't have to have it that day. You could plan it and have it the next day, even the day after. That's such quality of food. It lasts a really long time.
That's the best part.
When the first time that my wife and I ordered from you, I was the first one to get the box. And I thought, oh, man, she's not going to be home for another hour. How am I going to keep this warm? Until I opened the box. And then I went, oh, I get it now. This is a really great way to do this. And it didn't matter that she was not going to be home from work for another hour. It actually worked out great in that regard. And the beef bourguignon, perfect. I think that was the first one that we had was really, really good. So.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah, Chef Adam is actually working on some more seasonal. You know, we're sort of getting to that warmer weather now. So looking at beautiful spring menus of, you know, lambs coming in and fresh peas and just some really fun stuff coming through that we will do seasonal menus. And some chefs will just, you know, they do something really well and it'll be on the menu, you know, every week. And then we're going to have other chefs who will be creating a special meal every week. So there'll be some variation there.
So I love that.
That's the kind of the biggest thing here.
So, you know, if it's a traditional restaurant, there's only so many hours available in the kitchen so that you could serve a dinner. And the beauty of your business model is that even though it might be weird for a chef to be making beef bourguignon at 10 a.m., they can certainly do that, and it fits perfectly in this model. So how many chefs do you have that are working at different times throughout the day in your commercial kitchen preparing the meals at this point?
We've got... Gosh, Katie, how many do we have on now? Like, I think we're looking to 8 to 10 chefs now coming on board.
Yeah, because we have a bunch coming on right now. Some chefs work at different kitchens. They're not all out of our kitchens. We're open to the whole point of this is that we are a support system as a chef collective to be a tool for these great, talented people. And we make sure that we are managing and controlling the output. So we're allowing them to express their talents and their skill sets to the best of their ability. And we're making sure that we're facilitating it perfectly. That's kind of the goal. They're not all from our kitchen, in fact.
No, we do have Mark's a spot, fine food. We do have a commissary kitchen in South Napa that a couple of our chefs work out of, and myself. And it is available for anybody who is looking for to work on a an item or something that they're interested in bringing to the market. And then we do pick up... from other kitchens as well that chefs work out of and deliver it to the customer.
Okay. And all of the packages?
Restaurants and not just kitchens. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so Kitchens of the Valley is a curator of sorts of these awesome local artisans, you know, and we bring them together and deliver it to our local customers here. So we're not, you know, we're not just one company making all the food or They're all under one banner, like Black Pretend Ghost Kitchens. Is actually, or they're all individual people with families and people in school, kids in school, and you know your local neighbors who are making some. There's artisans making really great products that we want to showcase and bring to people. Yeah.
I would imagine
that's so important to us, Lee.
Yeah, I would imagine that the pandemic was probably the initial inspiration for this, but it seems like it's gone far beyond just a pandemic pivot.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. You know, we saw other people in our community, our specific community, hospitality industry, really, really suffering. And we were really fortunate in that we, working for Mark's the Spot for so long, we have a great reputation. We do really well, and we were still sustaining, whereas others weren't. And, you know, Mark is a very empathetic person, as am I, and we love this industry. We love the people who work on it. We're very passionate about it. We're both, even though we're on different sides of the spectrum, Mark is the chef. I'm a baker, but I'm more front of house hospitality. We both really love food, and we wanted to create a community within our own community to support each other and take care of each other. And we thought, we have the facility to do this. We have the resources to do this. We have the experience over the last few decades of working in this industry endlessly to fill in the gaps where maybe some private chef who's deeply talented doesn't have all the infrastructure he needs to facilitate this. Well, we can do this, and we can help each other. We can make money for each other, and we can bring something really cool to the community that's a little different than what exists already. And we were really, really excited about it. And we've been kind of full force, and we've loved the response we've had. We've been so lucky. The chefs are really ambitious. They're really involved, and they love what they're doing.
You make a really good point too, Katie, is that I'm not picking on DoorDash, these other delivery companies, but with Kitchens of the Valley, you know, if you're talking with Katie, you know, she's responding to your inquiries or questions. You know, there's one or two people that you deal with who is the conduit between you and the chefs, and that gives the chefs that chance to really just focus on the food and not dealing with the marketing and emailing back and forth and running credit cards and all this minutiae, which really sort of bogs down the creativity and time that the chef has available. We take that care that for them, and the marketing arm as well, to help really expand their business basically and get some great food to people. And so there's any big thing too is for us is the quality of the ingredients, the packaging, it's safe, and the person, you know, who's delivering your food. It's not some part-timer who decides to work for a couple of weeks and is gone again. We're going to be there every week, and we're developing those relationships.
We're talking with Catherine Linane.
He emailed me immediately after he had it.
Who did?
You and your wife both emailed me after you had your first meal, and that's how I got to meet you directly.
Right. So we're talking to Catherine, also goes by Katie Linane, and Mark Raymond, co-owners of Kitchens of the Valley. You'd mentioned the seasonal thing. Does that mean that you are anticipating preparing maybe corned beef and cabbage kind of thing maybe coming up in the next couple of weeks?
Oh, yeah. We were just talking about that. Yeah. Yeah, that's I've got a couple great chefs in mind, and I was like, hey, do you want to, St. Patrick's Day is coming up, do you want to put a box together? And they're already psyched about doing, you know, some beer braised, you know, corned beef and putting some traditional St. Patty's food together. So, yeah, we do be dipping some seasonal and festivus? No, that's not the right word. But, you know,
festive,
too much coffee this morning. Katie put together an awesome Valentine's Day box this year. It was phenomenal. To talk more about that. But, yeah, definitely celebrations from Super Bowl, 4th of July. Yeah, some fun things that you can we can take care of the catering, you know, for you.
And we give a lot of free rein to our chefs also. You know, we're not a controlling dictatorship in this artistic focus. You know, we say, these are the options. What would you like to do? Let me help you focus and do it really well. So we oversee everything. We bring everyone, when they create a new menu, they bring it into us. We test it. We talk to everyone about it. We make sure it's going to go over really well. We want to set everyone up for success and make sure that we're staying in the idea of what we're trying to create and build here. So even though you do have all these chefs, there is control.
If any of your listeners want to be a guinea pig, because we do like to test the new boxes. Give us feedback.
Yeah.
Feedback, please email Katie, and you might get a box of food for free. All we need is a little feedback on it, so let us know.
Oh.
Absolutely. You can email me at katie@kitchensofthevalley.com. And we do have some great new people coming on, which is fantastic. Local artisan Toasted will be doing a breakfast box coming up, which will be fantastic. Like Mark said, we are going to be doing some St. Patty's Day boxes coming up with new surprise chefs to be determined. I am a baker here in our community, and I've decided to finally, now that we've gotten started, I'll be taking that on as well.
That sounds very intriguing. So the email address again is katie@kitchensofthevalley if you want to throw your name in the hat to be a recipient of a free meal as a trial basis.
Absolutely.
Before it goes out. Okay.
Yeah, just email me and tell me how much you're a foodie and why you love food so much, and I'll email you back.
Right. Yeah, that's really important.
Lee,
we give guidance.
This is Garrett Murphy. Sorry to cut in, but I was going to say I've had Arietta's bagels, and they're extraordinary. So Toasted is a fantastic company. They used to rent my kitchen in the old days, and now she's. I'm glad that she's working with you guys. You guys are doing a fantastic thing for not only obviously for the consumer, it's a no-brainer, but man, you are saving the butt of a lot of chefs who really during this tough time needed exactly this type of concept. So bravo to you, Katie and Mark.
If you guys don't know each other, Garrett Murphy is...
We know each other very well.
Okay, good. Okay. I would think so, being in the food world like you are. So, but for our listeners...
Yeah, Mark the Spot has worked with Fitness Collective for a long, long time.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So what are...
Yeah, that's funny. He's the next guest. We've been doing their wine club. Actually, one of them.
For about a decade,
clients.
Right?
Yeah.
And we used to change.
Funny enough,
we used to change.
Fitness Collective was the first event I ever worked with Mark Spot.
Oh, wonderful! We used to change catering company all the time, and then after you guys did this, it was we didn't need anybody else. You guys were just so professional, and the food was amazing, and our customers members were thrilled to have your food, and they always have a smile when they see you guys catering.
Oh, that makes
me
so happy. I mean, you have no idea. I actually see Vintners Collective members on the street all the time. And at this point, over the last 6-7 years, they know me by name. You know, Martha will always stop me and be like, I can't wait to see you soon. And we've had a long, amazing relationship with Vintners Collective. I'm very grateful for that relationship.
Yeah.
And
well, what you're doing for the chefs right now is, I know it's a business concept that is good for you, but I think it's number one extraordinary for all these chefs and restaurants to have been closed down by the pandemic. So bravo to you.
You know,
thank
and
you
it's
so much.
It's worth mentioning that as great as service that you're providing and helping chefs, this is a way to get a very high quality meal at, I wouldn't say a fraction, but certainly less than one would pay at a restaurant because the overhead is less. Is that true?
Yeah. You are going to get a lot more food than you would in any takeout situation at a much lower cost point. You know, because it's a family style meal, you're not buying all different meals. We have very abundant amounts of food. It's a great price point. I mean, for anyone who does take out, you know, you take out for three people in the Napa or Sonoma Valley, that's a minimum of $100. I don't know who else can do take out for less than that. And, you know, for about the same price, you can get a meal for almost six people. So it's a really great cost effective way to have a wonderful, delicious meal.
So
we're delivering to Napa, Yountville, St. Helena. We are doing the town of Sonoma as well. And in Sonoma. And we're delivering
Calistoga.
And maybe some special people in Calistoga. so we're delivering Wednesday through Saturday at the moment. And And we do ask people if they can order the day before 6 p.m. so the chefs have time to create and put the meal together for the following day.
The other thing to mention is, if you happen to be outside of that delivery radius, don't hesitate to call us. We'll try and make an accommodation for you. Maybe you want to come pick up the kitchen. I've even had a client who really wanted the meal so badly, I met her halfway. So, again, you're working with a small group. We're going to take care of you. We want to make sure that we're getting to you. You're all important to us. So don't hesitate, even if you're outside of that delivery range, to contact me.
It's a classic formula for success for small business to make exceptions like that. Katie and Mark, I greatly appreciate your being on the show. Thank you very much. And listeners, go to kitchensofthevalley.com. Check them out. Make an order and save a chef.
Thanks very much for having us. Yeah, it's been awesome, man. Kitchens of the Valley. We'll take a look at our website. It's always being updated and new chefs and menu items. And we look forward to seeing you soon.
Great.
Yeah, we'll see you all soon.
Take care. We'll be right back.
KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.
Broadcasting live from South Napa Century Center.
Vintage Sotheby's International Realty, Napa's only locally owned and operated Sotheby's Realty office, has an amazing team of experienced and knowledgeable agents that exceed the high standards and qualifications to assure the ultimate goal of assisting clients buying or selling homes throughout the entire Napa Valley and beyond. Whether now or sometime in the future, remember to consider Vintage Sotheby's Realty, the luxury brand with the local focus that you deserve for any real estate matters. Visit VintageSotheby'sRealty.com to connect when it makes sense for you, or call 707-944-0888. That's 707-944-0888. DRE number 01874685.
Introducing a new and unique source of accessory dwelling units. HabitatADU.com is an all-in-one ADU builder who makes the entire process convenient and actually fun. The new statewide ADU building codes means more properties can accommodate them. Choose from 9 pre-designed models of varying size, built off-site, and delivered nearly 100% complete in much less time than traditional methods. Leave all the permit process and management of the project to the team at HabitatADU.com. Find out if you might benefit from an accessory dwelling unit on your property at HabitatADU.com.
Narvaez Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renters insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.
And we're back. All things Napa here. That was great talking to Katie and Mark Raymond of Kitchens of the Valley. And I didn't know Garrett Murphy, Vintners Collective. I didn't know that you knew them, but it totally makes sense because the chef community is probably pretty tight knit here.
Right. Yeah. And before even opening Kitchen Collective, I knew them because they were catering at Vintners Collective. And those guys are extraordinary. I'm not surprised that they are growing and doing all these things. They are the consummate professionals.
Right. I love that. Consummate. I love when you talk because you are not U.S. born. So talk a little bit about your background and why you say consume it as opposed to consummate.
So I was born in Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
You know, that's what happened, you know, and on the wrong side of the track. Just kidding. Well, actually, probably I was. But my dad moved to France when I was 1 year old. So what happened is I truly, you know, my first language was really French. And so I lived there approximately 16 years and then came back to the U.S. So it's funny when I meet people and they know me and they talk to me and suddenly I use a strange phrase or word or the meaning of my word might have been, you know, misconstrued. And they go, well, I don't get it. What does he not know? That what he said was wrong. And I look at them, I'm like, I speak three languages, none of them perfectly, but I speak three languages. How many do you speak, you know? Because it's really,
that'll
when you speak
put him
very
in their
well,
place.
People think, okay, obviously he's mastered the entire language. And I'm like, no, I'm still a French guy living in America that, you know, happens to have, you know, learned, you know, as much as I could.
Yeah, and that's a verbal slap at them too. I speak three languages. Yeah. How many do you know?
Oh, yeah, because trust me, if they come after me, it's with that tone or that look that says, I can't believe you said such a thing. And do you know what the meaning of that? I'm like, well, probably not.
But I've heard it before, yeah, and I'm repeating
and
it.
And I'm repeating it.
No, but I'm not talking about completely misusing words. I just like it when you change the, you put the, as the joke goes, you put the emphasis on a different syllable.
Right.
And
right.
That's just subtle because you complimented them as being consummate professionals, except you said consummate professionals. And I love that. But we digress. So, ladies and gentlemen, say hello and welcome Garrett Murphy, the former owner of Kitchen Collective, and now, and always has been at the same time, co-owner of Vintners Collective. And Vintners Collective was actually preceded Kitchen Collective, no?
Yes, it did. And hello to my beloved Napa Valley.
Yes.
I've been here for a long time and love this place. And I certainly have been doing a lot of different things. And Vintners Collective was started correctly about almost 20 years ago in downtown Napa. So I think when we moved into downtown Napa, people were like, well, first of all, there was nothing downtown Napa. It was Greg Coles. And who was the guy who opened, there was this other restaurant, Foothill Cafe. I'm blanking on, you remember that? Oh, anyway, that was a long time.
I'm a transplant
right,
of
that's true.
9 years ago,
someone,
so I'm no help there.
Someone on the radio will know what I'm talking about. But there was not much going on downtown. Celadon. So when we opened, people were like, who are those outsiders and what are they trying to do? And, you know, and it was a multi-wine taste room, so it sounded so strange to most people.
So as a collective, as a business model, that was pretty groundbreaking at that time?
First one in Napa Valley. There was some others, but they were part of a custom crush facility.
Okay.
And so it was a very different concept. Here it was simply opening a taste room. You know, not far off from what Katie and Mark are doing here. It's just to help small chefs who don't have their own kitchen, who don't have their own ways to deliver their food and so forth, or the marketing branch. Well, I did this for small producers in Napa Valley. At the time, there was, and still today, there's a three-tier system in America, and you can't, it's very difficult for a very tiny producer, a garagiste, to be able to, you know, sell their wines outside of California. So, you know, we opened the taste room to help them sell direct to consumer.
Right. So give us, for somebody maybe that's not in the Valley right now, what is a collective of different vintners?
So, you know, the name that we came up with was, the concept was to bring a, you know, a group of vintner who wanted to help each other. It's essentially a cooperation,
okay,
of vintner. So instead of being one vintner trying to pierce through, it's 10, it's 20 of them, and they work together, you know, to create a beautiful tasty room, to have a warehouse so they can, you know, maybe ship wine or whichever. They have a group of salespeople that sells the wine for the entire co-op, right? So it's a way to share the cost of doing business.
And when there's producers that are only producing, vintners producing only 500 cases or 200 cases, there's no way they can cost justify opening up their own tasting room with the high cost of real estate and everything else. And I mean, it's just, it's a great business model on so many different levels.
I think that if you have a more than 1,000 case, you might want to consider, but that would be a very, very risky. I think over 5,000 cases, you should be able to open your own tasting room. But under that, you should probably be part of a cooperative like the Vintners Collective. And obviously today there's, you know, we were the first one, and today there might be about 40 in a downtown only, not Napa downtown only. And each of them focus on very specific wine and price points and so forth. So find the right place that fits your style of wines that you do.
And that was, I guess, one of the interesting things when I visited most recently Vintners Collective, the choices were so vast that, you know, different than when you go to a winery. Okay, these are the five wines we're going to pour today. We're going to start you with Sauv Blanc, blah, blah, blah. You know, and, you know, Anthony asked us, what do you guys like? I've got 18 to 20 different vintners here with a wide variety of varietals. Where do you want to start? And it was almost overwhelming initially because we didn't know where to start. So we started with Sauv Blanc because it wasn't even 11 o'clock yet. So
you said it perfect. You said that Anthony was curating your tasting. And that's what we've been doing for almost 20 years now. Is I essentially invite wineries that I feel my clients, you know, would be, first of all, the vintners that we've been able to attract since day one are the top of the top, you know, the guys who the most maverick there is in the business. So they don't have to be the most known, but they, you know, if you're in the industry, you know who they are, you know, the source of fruit that they're using. So they already have a very, statistically, our wineries that I've picked are, we know our consumer are going to love them. It's not one of those where, I don't know about you, but when you go to a winery and they have just five wines.
Right.
And you take through the five wines and you get one that's modest, one that's extraordinary, one that is probably not worth talking about, and two that honestly you'll hope you're not going to get in a wine club. and you're like, really? Why not all of them equally? Right. You know, good. Don't have to be the best, but just equally good.
Right. And that formula is almost like this corporate thing to just cookie cutter the tasting experience and almost rushing you through the five so that, okay, what are you going to buy? Are you going to join? Okay, see you next time. Next, move them in, set it up,
exactly.
Go through the same process.
And they're the one who truly have made wine clubs look so bad. And that's what people now, 10, 15 years later, a lot of people who come to the Valley are turned off by wine clubs. Well, yes, these wineries send six bottles the same, and it's the wine that you least liked in the tasting room. And you're right. Like, I don't want to join any clubs. So I think that, you know, our mission, you know, was to curate a perfect group of wineries who are focused toward the same standard. And we succeeded with that. Actually, something I didn't even think about saying, but I just thought about it. We got named one of the top 10 wine club in the, about, it was about 2 months ago. In the Forbes So that was pretty extraordinary to have Forbes say that we were one of the top 10. I was very, very excited about that.
Well, and the most important part of that statement, top 10, we're not talking top 10 in Napa. We're talking top 10 in the U.S., right?
Yes, correct. Yes.
That was, is really saying something. So, you know.
And we're tiny. We're not a giant. We, you know, we're talking about each of our wineries do, like you said, 500, maybe 1,000 cases. That's it.
Right.
They're tiny.
Right. And I remember Anthony telling us, this is a 98-point wine, and this is a 100-point wine. And I was kind of struck when he came out, and every pour was via a Coravin. And so you thought, oh, man, it's Coravin. This must be really good wine, because he's not just popping the cork and letting us run through it. So.
Yes, thank goodness Coravin was invented. It helps a lot when you're dealing with bottles that can be up to $300 a bottle. And, you know, this is certainly, those are our top tier wines, but we have plenty in the $50 zone. Actually, I still make sure that we have between the $50 and $100 zone, and we have extraordinary wines. And that could be extraordinary wines made by Heidi Barrett, by Philippe Malka, by Andy Erickson, by a whole bunch of Ellen Keplinger, whoever, you know, the great winemakers, but they still have wines that you can afford that are absolute treasures. And it must be, I think for anybody that lives here and beyond, I'd really recommend that if you want to learn about wine, please, you know, stop by. We love that. You saw that with Anthony. We love when someone comes and say, hey, you know what? I want to taste these wines, the ones that, you know, it's a great way to come in the industry, learn the industry by knowing what the top wines are.
Right. And when you do make your appointment at Vintners Collective, make sure that you plan enough time. Because that's what my mistake was. You know, we were in and out in 35 minutes. So that was not very wise on our part. So
not when you're tasting these wines and you go, oh, my God, I want to stay here for another 2 hours.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we ran to have lunch, and then we ran and played 18 holes. And so it was a little college buddy get together. But they're not from the Valley. So I said, well, we got to squeeze in at least one tasting experience. So.
Which is great, because you think about it, it was a big thought of mine when we opened was, look, people come from San Francisco, they're business people, they have only a very little time on their hands. Sometimes they don't have time to go up the mountains, down to Calistoga and everywhere to do these special tastings. So being so central, people could come, do a fast tasting, taste, you know, the wines they exactly already thought they wanted to taste and buy wine and go back to San Francisco. I think that's a big benefit of Vintners Collective. You can do a quick one. Now, do we like to do quick tastings? No, because we're mostly, hanging out with our friends. So we want to hang out. We don't, you know, we're tasting while we're talking, we're catching up. So that's, you know, that's the most important part of doing this is to, you know, spend time together.
I want to reiterate, you said something about the education. Anthony was naming the winemakers, naming the production level, where the fruit was sourced. I was surprised we were tasting, I think we tasted at least two that were sourced from Pritchard Hill.
Yes.
And, you know, the only... we've been members at Chapelet for a long time.
Right.
And so I was kind of surprised that Chapelet was, I thought they owned all of that. And if they own all of Pritchard Hill, that they were actually selling some of their fruit, but it's good to share.
So interesting enough, these fruits are only available to the top, top winemakers, because if you're not, you're not going to have access to the fruit. It's kind of a simple concept of if it is a winemaker I never talk scores, but let's just say you buy the fruit for the Chapelet, for the Pritchard Hill fruit, you make a wine and the bottle gets 100 point, the fruit, you know,
gets a lot of the credit.
That's right. Exactly. So then the price goes up and so forth. So if you have such a fruit, you're not selling it to anybody. And so, yes, they are. They do sell it to a bunch of super high-end wineries and winemakers that they know. So if you are somebody who is Andy Erickson, Philippe Melka, you know, the Heidi Barrett of the world, and all the other extraordinary people out there, you will have access to buy the fruit, which is sometimes up to $20,000 or $30,000 a ton.
Wow.
Instead of $5,000 to $10,000.
Right. So it would also be almost considered a crime to sell that value of fruit to somebody that could very well mess it up. And the wine comes out tasting horrible and it's Pritchard Hill fruit. That's not going to bode well for anybody.
No, that's right. But you'll rarely ever see that happening.
Because they're only going to sell to people that aren't going to mess it up.
So a perfect example of a vineyard that not too many people know about. It's called Sleeping Lady. It's somewhere in the Yonville facility or whatever.
Vicinity.
The vicinity. And that vineyard just got 100 point. Well, that's it. That fruit is only going to be sold to, you know, the best of the best winemakers, and the price is going to go up and so forth and so forth.
Wow. So your vintners, do they rotate? Do some people, you say you're not good enough or we're not selling enough of yours? Maybe you're better going elsewhere. Or is it always consistently the 18 to 20 that you have right now?
I take my sweet time to, you know, pick. Meaning that it's not impossible that in 1 year I might add one or zero.
Okay.
So when we pick them, I make sure that we feel like we would be successful.
And a long term, so that it's not,
right.
You don't want it constantly rotating because you want that consistency.
Exactly. And those guys have been with us since day one for a lot of them. It'll be decade with most wineries, unless they can open their own taste room. An example from a little bit of the past is Patson Hall. Patson Hall, you know, was in our taste room, and then they became too big to, and they built their own taste room. There's a bunch of example like that. Krupp, also not that long ago. Acumen, they opened their taste room downtown. They were with us. So we're kind of a little incubator in a way.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Right. So at one point they become, you know, old enough, big enough, and they open their own taste room.
So you help the artisan winemaker in the beginning, and hopefully they never forget you.
Right.
Still friends, but... So speaking of art, see what I did there?
Nice transition.
Wow.
Wow.
I should be a talk show host. I'm telling you what. So our listeners have now met Garrett Murphy, and you know him as, well, you don't know that he is also a chef, but he's the co-owner of Vintners Collective, and he is also an artist and a professional. As I said in the opening, a professional artist. You're actually getting commissioned now for different work. So tell us a little bit about your artwork and how long you've been an artist.
Well, I think that probably I was an artist my entire life. As a kid, I used to doodle all the time instead of studying. And, you know, I think as I got older, I think, you know, I felt that the art was calling me, and I felt like, okay, you know, am I going to be on the sideline, and am I going to be the person that admires? Yes, I am. But, you know, I wanted to just be more than just a fan of the art. I thought, what about if I dabbled in it? And about two and a half years ago, I got really sick. And I mean, really sick. And you and I knew each other.
Yeah.
So you know.
Man, I can't believe it's been 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
And by the way, I just passed my 5 years after cancer. So that was just my anniversary just happened a month ago.
Wow.
So I've had quite a few things happening to me. And it just sort of inspired me to look at life in a complete different way. You know, the rat race and always trying to, what if I did this? And what if I was, what if we built this kind of idea? And now I'm like, actually, what about if I take care of Garrett? And all my, feed this imagination and put on paper. And in a way, it's sort of like all of us, you think of, hey, when I'm gone, what is it that, your kids have? And what do you want them to remember? You don't want them to remember, oh, look, how extraordinary all the business he did. No, nobody cares about that.
That's why I end every show. Remember to live each day of your life as if your legacy matters. Because it does. It really, really does matter.
It sure does.
And I'll tell you what, Garrett, I noticed a blatant difference in you after you recovered from your illness 2.5 years ago. I didn't know you back when you had cancer. And congratulations on, I understand, 5 years right. Is the official cancer-free demarcation. So,
yeah, I'm sure most people who've had cancer don't like to say cancer-free, but
right,
it's certainly a fantastic anniversary, and it's hopeful.
But I noticed a big difference in you because you went through that illness, and then to come out on the other side, sure, you cared about your business, but it was seemingly knocked down a notch or two, and you had readjusted your priorities. I've even noticed a little bit of difference in you now that Kitchen Collective is closed. And, you say just over the last several months or whatever, you've really been doing a lot more painting. So your work-life balance is a model that others, myself included, should follow, because you are really enjoying life. And you also have love in your life now and recently married.
Yes.
So, Garrett Murphy.
Beautiful Melissa.
Great.
She's listening.
The little missus.
Yeah.
I don't know. And because of the stupid pandemic, I haven't even had a chance to meet her yet. So.
Yeah. I hope you get to meet her really soon. She's wonderful.
Yeah. But I'm inspired by your look on life and your attitude and your work-life balance. And speaking of inspired, I asked you, and I hope you don't mind if I read this response, but I asked you from where do you derive your inspiration for your art? And I was so impressed with the answer. Do you mind if I read your response?
No, please. No, thank you.
Okay. I mean, I get chills and maybe even a little bit emotional when I read this, so bear with me here. My thirst for learning is insatiable. As a fledgling artist, I get inspired by nature, people, and the science of perception. How much and how little needs to be rendered for the viewer eyes to be satisfied? How far can I bend reality? And how much spatial deconstruction can be had and still have the viewer interpret the painting to be impressionistic with even some touch of realism. John Singer Sargent and many of his contemporaries have mastered that magical touch. Sometimes I whistle, sing, or joke, not always because I'm happy, but to brighten my day and others. Same is true with my art. Sometimes I just paint. The more spontaneous, the better. That is deep. And I as soon as you agreed to be on the show, I said, I want the listeners to get to know Garrett Murphy, the artist, with that statement alone. So I'm really glad that you were able to join us today.
Well, thank you so very much. It's very kind of you. And I think this is, I think it applies to all of us that life is kind of about that. We're all learning and exploring and, you just have to, that's how you find your balance.
Right.
Same in, on a painting, you have to find a balance. How much do you need to do? Well, not as much as you think. You know, we're all very, very talented. You know, just take care of you as just as much as you take care of others. And this is kind of my new philosophy is to do that.
So how would people, because, you know, we just talked up your art, talked up you as an artist and your inspiration. The listeners are probably going, I want to see some of this art.
Yeah.
Where do they go?
You can go to my Instagram, which is GarrettMurphy_art, or my website, which is GarrettMurphyArt.com.
And that's Garrett with one T.
Two R, one T.
Right.
Murphy, M-U-R-P-H-Y, art, A-R-T.com. So GarrettMurphyArt.com. And you can see my art right there. And hey, write some comments if you like it. It always, you know, I think most artists, if you like something when you're online, just say something, you know, because it gets them going and it makes them want to paint more.
We all need that positive affirmation.
Totally.
And probably artists more than most people. So
right.
Thank you very much for being here.
Thanks, Lee.
Thanks for being my friend. And I hope that your work-life balance continues just as it is. And I'm going to strive to match that.
But so, we're going to hang out together. That's how we're going to do this.
That's how we're going to do it. All right, folks, thanks for joining us. And remember to live each day of your life like Garrett, because your legacy matters.
Introducing a new and unique source of accessory dwelling units. HabitatADU.com is an all-in-one ADU builder who makes the entire process convenient and actually fun. The new statewide ADU building codes means more properties can accommodate them. Choose from 9 pre-designed models of varying size, built off-site, and delivered nearly 100% complete in much less time than traditional methods. Leave all the permit process and management of the project to the team at HabitatADU.com. Find out if you might benefit from an accessory dwelling unit on your property at HabitatADU.com.
KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.
Broadcasting live from South Napa Century Center.